Okay, call to order. I call the April 17th, 2018 regular board meeting of the Glencove Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, it's 7 p.m. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay, moving right along. Consent agenda. Items A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? No. Okay. If not, then I guess I need a B to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Josh.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Motion passes.
Consent agenda? No, there's four. It's the surplus property disposal minutes and then approval of the bills.
Yeah. Oh.
What? So A is missing?
No, they're all there.
It's good. Okay. Okay. So. Matters from the public? No matters from the public. Okay. So, we'll start our public hearing on the budget.
I'd like to thank all of you for coming.
Okay, should I do a little introduction? Budget and appropriation ordinance has been reviewed by our legal counsel and is put on public display for the required 30-day period. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Carol, would you please give a brief summary?
Sure. I would like to state that the budget and appropriation ordinance is based on the working budget that was approved by the board at last month's board meeting, which was also discussed starting in early February at the board level as well. The budget appropriation ordinance is the legal document that's filed with the county. It must be filed within 3 months after the beginning of the fiscal year beginning. And it represents an operating budget of just over $9.6 million, a capital budget of just over $2.5 million, for a total budget of just over $12 million, $12.1 million. So, any comments?
Anything else? Any comments from the members? Well, there's no members of the public, from members of the board? Anybody okay on that? No members of the public to speak, so I'll declare the public hearing closed. And now to take action on this item. So this is the approval of Ordinance 880, an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencove Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2018. The BAO establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend, only its capacity. The annual budget remains a financial tool which guides the district, to which the board holds the staff accountable. So therefore, I will entertain a motion to approve Ordinance 880. An ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencove Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2018, as presented. Need a motion for that? So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? No discussion? We all understand the difference between the budget and the appropriation?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Okay, then, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Looks like everything passed. Okay, so next item, financial report for the first month of the fiscal year.
As stated in your packet, or included in your packet, I should say, is just the first month, obviously. March is the first month of our fiscal year beginning, and there's really nothing at this point that we can ascertain from comparisons, really. You will note a new column or a new row for the fitness department. So there won't be any comparative analysis on that until later on in the fiscal year. But there's nothing that's jumping out right now.
Okay. Anything else on that? Report. Any questions from the board at all? No? Okay. Then I guess we're going to move on to a discussion of the Watts Recreation Center. In your packet was the Watts Recreation Center report. And I think, Bobby, you're going to serve as the coach on this.
Sure am.
Okay.
So at that time of year, we're going to do the Watts Recreation Center annual report. Another very successful year in 2017-18. During the report, we're going to talk about presentation. We're going to talk about staffing, some of the changes we had, some of the facility maintenance that occurred in preparation, our ice programming, our open skate, our open hockey, rentals and special events at the facility, our non-ice programming, and then some of the trends and statistical data that we got from the data we collected at the QR point of sale. So obviously, we had some changes this year. I moved away from the facility manager position, and Adam came in, which was a great addition. He was tasked with getting the center open, and then moving over to Watts on the 2nd of January. He did a phenomenal job. He came in, learned everything there is to know about the ice rink in a very short period of time, and really had a success, very successful first season. We also had all brand new assistant managers. The assistant managers, right, not only did he maintain the ice rink, we worked really closely with the arts team. They kind of took Watts for the first couple of weeks and really got ready to go for the season as we transitioned staff. And then we worked with them to get the ice ready in the morning before the facility opened. And then when the facility was open, we had our assistant managers, the facility manager, maintain it. We did a lot of preseason training with the cashiers, the state guards, the new managers, and all of our safety procedures, operational procedures, cash handling procedures. And then Adam ran a lot of in-service training during the January-February time where we may have some gaps to make sure all the traffic with the staff are fully trained. Staff development was pretty consistent with previous years. Surprisingly, a lot of people want to work at Watts and they really enjoy it. It's sort of kind of one of those jobs that everybody likes to have. And if parents allow them, you know, generally have those staff come back next year or year after year, or when they come back from college for a while, they can work at Watts. It's one of those rites of passage in life. But traditionally, we haven't had any major staffing issues. So Adam's going to talk about some of the facility improvements.
So big thanks to the Parks and Recreation staff for attending a lot of these facility improvements. But the most notable ones are new rubber flooring throughout the first floor. They also painted throughout the first floor. Really made a drastic difference to the overall appeal of the facility. Also, their sustainability. We've been slowly replacing LED lights and some of our old fixtures with LED lights throughout the facility, so make our facility a little bit better across the board. Last season is cooling floor work, replace some busted piping closest to the benches. So they did some work there to replace and fix some of those pipes. Quite a bit of extensive work. We brought an outside group and contractor to help do that. Also installed an external bathroom automatic lock. It's allowed for the usage of that bathroom throughout the year. So we have people welcome from a lot of people in the facility. As far as ice programming goes, both of our programming is related to Learn to Skate and our hockey, Learn to Hockey minor hockey programming. Part of what you can see in this graph is kind of our trends over the last 4 years on Learn to Skate overall. Program participation, as well as a little bit of hockey. We're kind of surveying some of those dips to biannually or every other year. We're trying to do an intermission skate with the Blackhawks. So that brings in additional people to the program to get that opportunity to go and skate with the Blackhawks. We'll continue to look at programming ways and improve it, including doing mini clinics and preemptive. As far as season passes, we are seeing an increased trend in our revenue. The number of passes sold did go down last year, but due to some of the feedback we got from the community, Bobby instituted a combo pass for open skate, open hockey usage, and that really attributed to that continued trend that brought in about 2 As far as public skating and open hockey, this is a slide in the graph that shows our revenue trend for our daily admissions. So you can see that upward trend as well. We're really continuing to try to offer a lot more public skating. We're trying to really focus on offering those opportunities. We're really ahead of the curve in a lot of the junior rinks as far as the amount of public skating we offer as well as our open hockey.
So we also do some private rentals and room rentals. We started this year taking reservations early and we're going to continue that. It's not that much ice you book, it's how much ice you cancel. There's only so much ice available in the season, so the weather really plays into that. Some of our special events were really well attended this year. Watts Below Zero, if you were able to attend, there's like 350 people. It was snowing. It was picturesque of an open ice center. It was a beautiful day. We had two really successful teen ice nights, over 100 at the first one and just over 80 at the second one when the temperatures were a little lower. We're continually looking at different types of events to have Watts to get the community out and using the facility. We'll keep looking at that for next year.
In the fall of 2016, we moved Kids Club from the Take It Center to the Watts Day Center. Part of the reason we did that is because the cost of Kids Club is higher. They also have to pay for the bus. So we were hoping to kind of save them some money because of the proximity to South School. So they no longer have to pay that bus and be transported to our programming. We maxed out at 40 children in the morning and 40 children in the afternoon. We're full in the afternoon right now at 40. So it's fantastic there. We also transport kids to and from their enrichment programs, which some are in the walk centers, dance and stuff like that, with close proximity to South School. Those are highly enrolled as well. The teachers walk over, pick up the kids, bring them back to their enrichment classes. Parents only have to pick up. They don't have to pick up from school and bring them to their enrichment after school. During the summer, Watts is also used for our teen camp. It's the home base for Action Bus. They have pickup drop off there. They have field trips that lead from there, and they also do activities throughout the week there as well.
In conclusion, our goal obviously is to continue to find ways to provide higher quality programming and different customer service, you know, to meet the needs of the community. We're going to continue to look at our operational costs, find ways to reduce it while also improving the programs that we offer. So some will continue to look at through public skate, open hockey, room ball, special events, and further birthday party opportunities.
Anybody have any questions for us?
Question. You say that you're trying to increase the opportunities for public skate. I noticed that over the winter break week, I happened to fall upon the schedule for winter break and I saw the public skate was, I think, 1 to 2:30 or something like that. Everything else was locked out for hockey. And you know, as a parent raising kids in my home who was stuck trying to entertain my kids over winter break, that would have been a big disappointment to me because one of the things I found in Glencoe is that Watts wasn't available for my kids to skate at very often. The times that were really good, like, you know, weekend mornings, forget about it. Friday after school would be a hot time for public skate. That's always given up to hockey. And then winter break. So the times that seem that I would have found it useful, it's not available. And I'm concerned about our need to get rental revenue and who is renting versus making this an asset, a recreational asset for the community.
Do you mind me asking which schedule you looked at? Because there's one for the main break, there's one for the studio.
You know what? I don't know. It's really funny because I was just doing some kind of Google search and I just ended up with it.
Because our goal was to have our public skate on all times during the day, and then they would switch at a certain time. So
you allow public skate on one rink, and see, I always thought back in the day, why didn't we do that? So I'm happy to hear, really happy to hear that you're, because it seemed when hockey was locked off, they took both rinks.
So what we do actually is put open hockey on the studio rink, which is the small rink, and we put public skate on the main rink. And that's probably 95% of the open skates are on the main. But we agreed we probably increased by 15 hours last year how many open skates we have versus before I joined. So we made a big conscious effort to improve that. I can send you the schedule to look at. The way we broke it down, there was a schedule for the main rink and a schedule for the studio rink. But we didn't book ice between 11 and 5 during the week because we have people come. So people tend to also not book ice for games during the week. So we tend to do 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. for games. And then with that book, during the winter break, that time from 11 to 5 for public skate.
Yeah.
So I can send that to you. And
that's great. I fully understand what you're saying. You don't need to send it to me. That's great. So if in future reports we could get some data about resident versus non-resident,
absolutely,
that would be helpful. Thanks.
Have you looked into participating in what they call pond hockey tournaments, which are tournaments for outdoor ice?
I'm working closely with our new hockey director to try to continue to look at the different hockey opportunities.
I don't know if you have the time available, but it'd be interesting to reach out to a few other local, meaning North Suburban, Northern Illinois, facilities that have outdoor refrigerated ice to band together. It just seems to be such a big thing for adult hockey to relive their youth by playing outside.
Yeah, and then part of what I'm hoping to do this spring is go around to the different rinks in the area, meet some of the different ice rink managers so that I can learn about their operation and create connections so we can work together as well. So hopefully I have that, the opportunity to do that this spring.
Right.
For sure.
Other members, any questions? I had a question. Some of our neighbors have recently increased their hockey. I guess Winnetka has an outdoor rink now. And I think Glenview just passed a bond for, I think it's redoing, maybe expanding their facility. I don't know if you know about that one.
That's an indoor rink.
Yeah.
That's an indoor rink.
Yeah, it's an old indoor rink.
Yeah, so rebuilding and expanding a little bit.
That wouldn't impact us, or has that had an impact on us, either one of those?
It's a great question. So Watts, obviously, is a seasonal facility, so people tend to look for more permanent year-round ice. Those spots are probably already sold to a lot of local teams in Glenview.
Okay.
Yeah, so we really don't see a lot of that. We see people who learn to skate on our rink and then come back. When they're in college, they come home, or they move back to Glencoe. They have great memories from when they grew up here, and everybody's got very fond memories of that. So that's what we tend to see.
Okay. And then I don't know whether this is a Chris question or your question. We've had a discussion in the past about the cooling floor and how much longer the refrigeration is going to last.
That's a Chris question. The cooling floor was fully repaired this year. Mm-hmm. So we did acoustic testing like you would for a broken water main, determined the location, made the repair, the system held pressure. So I don't foresee any future issues with the cooling floor unless we have some kind of polar vortex winter or something like that. The refrigeration system, we do know that the refrigerant is being phased out. That being said, it's the most common refrigerant in the United States. So we know we're going to continue to get it. The costs are going to go up. It's something that we have to keep in the back of our mind, but I don't think it's something that we need to worry about in the next 1 to 3 years.
In the next how long?
1 to 3 years. We're going to, the material will continue to be available.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's more like, we're talking 5 to 10 years before it'll be an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's fixed, the rink is holding up really well, so I don't think we'll have an issue.
Well, we're looking at making repairs in a preventative fashion. We're not losing equipment for weeks during the season, so I'm very confident in the equipment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some thought about trying to find a summer use for the hockey rinks. We had talked a little bit about
they're exploring different options of what could go on the rink. And we're not very prepared right now to give our recommendations, but we are looking at different things and what could go on that rink without hurting
the refrigeration
system. So we are looking at that. We do camps use it in the summer to play games on. So there's some free play going on with that with our Action Quest. So they use it. So we'll continue to look at that.
And I have a couple of groups that are interested in renting it for like box lacrosse, maybe some roller hockey and some other. So we are exploring options to utilize the space in some way to continue to use it beyond our summer camps.
Can you get any data on the current popularity or trend in roller hockey? I got a piece about 12 years ago.
We can definitely
look at it. It's about time for that to probably come back.
The way the cycles go, it might be time to come back, yeah. But they'll continue to research all those different variables. That's one of our jobs. Thank you, very nice.
It's a great community amenity, and I appreciate your presentation with the graphs and the accompanying financial material. It's really helpful.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You guys can stay for the rest of the meeting.
Okay.
Or you can go home.
Or you can go home.
Or you can go home.
Okay.
Thank you for staying tonight.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I guess they're ready for staff reports.
Carol, you're up first.
Sure. Two things. First, we received a call from Moody's last week, and they will be doing an updated conference call for us to kind of, typically 3 years after a bond issue, we did a refunding in 2015. They wanted to check in. Per conversations with Eric Anderson, who's our bond consultant, he touched base with Moody's, and it's definitely from a level of a positive thing that they see. Our fund balance is increasing, our budget with our capital, that we've been able to do that. So it's a check-in. He said there is a potential that they could raise our rating, which would be helpful as we look to 2-3 years down the road to perhaps do another issue once the watch is
due. It's very hard for us.
It's all very up in the air right now, and we have to kind of get through the conference call first, but just kind of preparing for that. We weren't really expecting it, but that's something on the road that's not in the report. It just kind of came up. Yes.
It would be nice for us to keep that in the back of our minds, that that is out there, and should we ever have some spectacular project that we wish to pursue, we want to always keep in the back of our mind that maintaining our credit rating is integral to getting the most value for the community.
I agree.
Is this the kind of thing where you can say, they'll say, look, you're close to raising your, what, this is what you need to do.
You know what, it's one thing that Eric said, it could be merely something due to our small size.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so too.
That you really
and that was what he said last time.
Yeah.
So we could, you know, could be everything but that would still prevent us from changing.
Sure,
we'll see.
Okay.
Well, let them know, commissioners, bring your own snacks.
The
more you want.
And then secondly, I just want to thank my coworkers and Lisa, especially Liz Stoic, for being so supportive the last 6 weeks now with my mom. So I couldn't do it without them, and especially without Liz, and I just want to make sure that she's...
Liz has been a really good addition to the team.
Yeah. She has. She's phenomenal. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Recreation and facility.
Absolutely. So just following up, we had a question last week just on the financials for the rec department. We just had a look at some of the numbers and some of the causes why that wage number increased, and I said I'd get back to you just letting you know. Some of those were from camp. There was an increase in some of our camp wages that kind of compressed our margins. We had some overtime in some camp. And then our art program, that's a new program this year. We're not making a profit on it. We're really trying to build that up now. So whatever revenue we're bringing in, we're really spending on wages and trying to build that program and run as many programs as we can so we can build it over the long term. So those are some of what attributed to that increase in the wage cost that that question was asked the last board report. Other things, staff is working hard to finish up hiring for the season, for the summer season. We're looking pretty good. A couple of positions here and there where we're still hiring, you know, lifeguards as usual. We started that back in December, and really that has paid off. We're looking really good with camp counselors, especially cashiers, boat guards, looking pretty strong. And we've really reached out to a lot of local colleges. We use staff to recruit other staff from schools. We posted all the schools, all the swim teams. So that's going really well. I'm very proud of the staff, because that's a challenge in the industry right now. We're getting the beach ready. We've been monitoring the weather conditions. Obviously, it's challenging. Chris and the team are doing a phenomenal job down there getting the facility ready to open in 4 weeks on the boat side. We just had the mother-son date night on Sunday. We had 62 people at, which was a really great attendance. And then we're just putting together all our training schedules for safety and for camp and for the aquatics training for staff this summer.
Excuse me, please. Are you aware that some of our neighboring park districts have raised their hourly salary rate for their summer help?
Yeah, we did also.
We knew that was coming.
I think you're being kind of, if somebody's raising the bar, we all have to jump.
We all talk, and so I knew 6 months ago that was happening. Yeah. Right. And we will continue to have to do that because even though it's not mandated by law, the minimum wage didn't go up for park districts, and they are going up everywhere else, so we're Cook County.
That's
so
the same pool we're pulling.
Yeah, we're pulling from the same pool, so we'll continue to raise that every year, but we are in line with other park districts.
I'm sure you guys noticed there was a little glitch in the system for signing up for the Mother's Son Night, so on the computer it said it was sold out. So someone told a bunch of people it was sold out, and then they came in. I said go in and check first, and they did 2 days later, and then it wasn't sold out. They said it was a glitch.
So do you know about that?
I feel like maybe the enrollment numbers might have been a little down because that one person told a lot of people that it was sold out.
Because it closed 3 days before the event. So we had increased the amount of literature that said that we are holding it for this number, and we're going to close it on this day. The day of registrations won't be accepted. So that's kind of the first time we've done that, because we've had people turn up for events when they've been full and we can't take any more. So
it wasn't at the door, though. It was more than 3 days before, but then the person on the phone said there was a glitch in
So they tried to sign up 3 days before?
It was more than 3 days.
Okay, I can look into it.
Yeah. So the person on the phone said there was a glitch in the system?
Oh.
So we have to work on, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll work on that. Thank you for that feedback. If that happens next time, can you let us know? Because then we would have done an e-blast saying we had a glitch in our system. The rumors maybe are full or not type thing. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, that was a great turnout, actually.
My friends at WAC said it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you.
Bobby, is the table in the beach section, are the numbers so different from 18 versus 17 just because it's early in the year?
You mean with the boat storage?
Well, everything is $50,000 more this year.
Yeah.
It's funny because, when I had that position, really closing the ice rink down and we were trying to get all that up, but because Matt came in and really was focused on the beach straight away, he was able to really hit the ground running and get that all in earlier. This is the second year we've had the online registration. And it's also that after holding people that they're going to lose their spots, people are very eager to sign up. So we've seen that revenue come in earlier. I don't expect it to be massively.
Right.
I think we're going to be in line with budget.
So this is mostly because we've been more aggressive about collecting earlier,
correct,
not that we actually suggest,
correct,
that we're going to have more revenue.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. All of our things to get people to sign up are working and holding people accountable to signing up. So.
Well, hopefully there will be some incremental.
Well, the boat storage is kind of hard, but the other ones, yes, we hope so too. Yeah. Any other questions?
Okay. No other questions. Let's see.
Chris?
Parks?
Well, it doesn't feel like spring, but it is. Kicked off our athletic season April 2nd, so ball fields are up and ready. Soccer fields are lined. We have definitely had to fight the weather, in particular at the beach, just getting the boating beach ready. It's been a tough go, but the staff has really made the best of it and really just fighting against the weather. So it has not been ideal, but we have seen some high-use days. I did field some questions about why every drinking fountain and bathroom wasn't working on the first 70-degree day. So we do have that on our regular schedule, but we do have to kind of wait until it breaks freezing to turn the drinking fountains and bathrooms
on. For more than
a
day?
Yeah.
So you may hear anything about that. But other than that, if there's any questions relating to my report.
Questions from the commissioners?
What's the coolest thing the staff has found washed up on the beach?
Yes, that's what we'll go with.
Yeah, there you go.
The bench
was one of ours.
No, we did.
It was not one of ours. Ours has their number and name on it.
One of our benches turned up, which he had lost after the end of the pier during the winter. It turned up on a little bit further down, and we went and got it, so that was nice. Yeah, I got a call. Hey, I think there's a bench of yours a little bit down the shoreline. So that turned up. That was pretty nice. A lot of driftwood. We did have a local artist come down and collect a bunch of driftwood off the swimming and boating beach.
Oh, nice. Next year, so, give it to the art department. I bet they could do some stuff with
it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
We pulled all the nails out of it for them in advance.
That's nice. That's fantastic.
Great. All right.
Great. Any other questions? Concerns? No? Okay. Marketing and communications.
We're having fun with Button Cove Fitness. This month is our Boston Marathon Challenge. Staff have been eliminated from the contest, but...
After one blow, the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
That has been a fun challenge that we're working on, and we're thinking we have a plan for a lot of other challenges to come. We are in the process of bringing in a graphic designer, which is very exciting for me, after interviewing a bunch of people. So we're very excited to see that person hopefully in May. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, good. Anything else? Questions from the commission? No questions? Okay. And then safety and wellness.
Chris?
We have continued to work on our loss control review, so we're working on that with Durham, ensuring that all of our documents are in order, preparing for the first round of the audit. So,
Bobby?
Yeah, we're getting our training agendas ready, like I said, for the summer, so we're looking at the loss control review and implementing, making sure we touch on all those topics and all of our trainings for seasonal and full-time staff.
And I know we have two commissioners taking part in the first aid CPR, so that'd be great. And we continue to do those trainings throughout the summer. So,
great.
Lisa.
Great. Okay. All right. Given the concern of many schools, have we reviewed our own procedures?
Very good question. Yes, we always do, but we also have a meeting set up at the end of this month or early next month with Glencoe Public Safety, just to review our procedures again, our training. And then we're also looking into bringing in another consultant to look at some of the things that we can do a little bit better, just not only in our lockdown facility, which is the preschool that can be easily locked down, but other public areas that we have. So we'll work in tandem with Public Safety and that consulting firm that a lot of participants are using. So, because we're a little bit more unique than schools in how we, at our vulnerability. So,
open building.
Yeah, we always look at that. They review that every month, but we're going to take a special hard look at it as one of our goals for this year.
No, I don't believe firearms are permitted in our parks at all.
They're not. Any public park or facility. And we have signs that say that throughout the system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't mean people don't bring them, but they're not supposed to.
Right. Other questions from the commission? No? No? Okay. Okay, executive director's report.
All right. As everybody said, we're gearing up. The parks team has been working very hard at Glencoe Beach, rebuilding some of the lockers that were taken down when the pipe repair was done. That last fall. I continue to work on the Illinois Sand Management Working Group along with the other four participating communities, Lake Bluff, North Chicago, Evanston, and Glencoe. We're also applying for another grant to have that offshore dredging material placed on our beach free of cost. So we'll find out again that probably a couple years from now, but we're slowly working that that process.
And is this material from the famous Waukegan Harbor?
It is. Yep. So
the former PCB Superfund.
It is. Center. Right. Most of that sand right now is being placed in Illinois State Park, Beach Park, I guess. But they have so much of it that they have plenty, so that's why they're doing demonstration sites.
And it's always tested for.
It's totally tested. It's found clean. It's before it's placed on our beach. Yes. So we'll go through that whole process to see if we're able to do that. It's so much more affordable to do it that way, bringing it on a barge, and obviously we're reusing the material that is really going from our beach down there. If we have to do it the traditional way, we have to truck it in, which obviously is bad for the environment. We have to drop it at the top of the bluff, and then we have to bring a smaller tractor, bring it down. Just the whole that whole process is so expensive. The sand's not so much expensive, but the process to get it on our beach is cumbersome and not sustainable. So we're hoping, like I said, this process will take a long time, but we're hopeful that both of those, one, that we get permit to do it, and two, that it gets paid for. So,
yes. Quick question.
Yes.
Did you read that Wilmette Swimming Beach may be closed this summer?
Yes, I did. And there's also another beach in Evanston that may be because of the sand erosion.
That may have an impact on our...
Wilmette.
Wow.
That's the area?
Langdon?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Dog Beach on Clark, just that Clark Street Beach in Evanston.
Yeah.
Not a big surprise.
Well. All right, ongoing capital projects. Tonight we'll be approving the bid for Old Allen Vernon and Woodlawn Playground. So as soon as that's approved, we'll develop a schedule. Our plan is to do one playground at a time. So the first one would be Lincoln Playground because there's no playground there. Then we'll move to Old Elm with Woodlawn being the last one. So, Vernon, I'm sorry, not Lincoln, Vernon. Yeah.
Those bids were awesome. Are you going to cover that?
Yeah, I'll cover that. Yep, in the action item, we'll cover that. We're also working on phase one, or they're submitting soil samples for phase one of taking parking for the bioswale, so that's not finished yet. You'll probably see those fences around the bioswale all summer though, so don't expect them just to be removed. We want to make sure that everything takes root in that area. So don't be surprised if you see those fences up. And then we're also doing the design review for phase two of the parking lot. I know that Chris met with the architectural team. And obviously we have we're working with the Green Bay Trail, with the Friends of Green Bay Trail, the Park District and the Village are moving invasive plant material. That work is done if you haven't been by there. And it's looking good. So the plantings will take place in the fall in that area. So they sprayed herbicide, they have to get rid of the buckthorn. They had poison ivy that was like as thick as a tree. It was amazing. So while that maybe looks starkly different, eventually that area will grow up beautifully with native material. So we're proud of that partnership. Parks we already talked about. I just want to get it on your calendar. We're doing a staff training with all of our seasonal staff on Thursday, May 31st from 6:30 to 8. We do bring a speaker in. We have the same speaker that was a keynote speaker for IPRA. He happened to live in Illinois, so we were able to get him through some shrewd negotiating on Bobby's part. And so that it's a great speaker that applies to all ages, motivational speaker. So please mark your calendar for that. And then the full-time managers just participate in a full day of Excel training, which will help them be more efficient in their report.
So I take it that if we have time, we can attend that speech?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's open.
That's where you're going.
Yep.
Okay.
Put it on your calendar if you can come. Great.
Okay. Yeah. Get motivated.
Yes, exactly. please mark your calendar for Tuesday, May 1st. We'll have a committee of the whole meeting to discuss a number of matters. So we would like all commissioners at that meeting. And then this Friday is the Shining Stars Award and Recognition Banquets that Bobby and I will be attending. I think that's it. Any questions?
The fencing out there, is the stuff that's down on the grass, is that also going to be plantings, or is that just for like...
Oh, that's to hold the grass material in,
yeah,
right?
So that is like a seed mat to keep the grass from blowing away, so that helps the soil not to erode until the grass takes root. So the grass will grow up through that, and then it degrades underneath, and you don't even see it.
I can't change it because we've already had the consultant flying in.
I mean, I can come late, but I won't, you know, I want to come in and disrupt
anything. I don't think you'll disrupt anything. Yeah, I would love to change. I can't change it because we already have Barbara Heller scheduled.
And I don't know, it might only be an hour. I really don't know.
Okay.
So
okay. All right, that's all.
I'm sorry, one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
And is that what we're going to talk about? It looks like at that committee meeting, we may talk about the group that you met with, the group that you met with about Children's Circle?
We'll be talking about, yeah, a proposed expansion of Children's Circle, yeah. And including that will be at the feedback from the parents. And we did the same focus group with staff also, so, and a survey. So we'll be presenting all that. So we'll try to schedule the meeting as such that maybe we can delay that a little bit. I could move the meeting back a half hour if that helps.
And by moving the meeting back, it's what you mean?
7:30.
Moving it later.
Yeah, not okay. Time-wise, okay. If we wanted to. Not date-wise. We can't move the date.
We have a lot of stuff.
We do have a lot of discovery, yeah. It'll probably be a two-hour meeting, as it is. So.
That's okay.
Okay, leave it the way it is. Okay.
Can you push that part back, mm-hmm. just so I can hear what you're
talking about? Okay. Okay. All right. Maybe we'll have the strategic planning discussion first then. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You're aware of the Grand Prix at early June again?
June 2nd.
And they've asked me, know what.
We only provide but bleachers by the baseball field,
yeah,
correct?
The village does the actual labor for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Usually we have a conversation with Don and Billy, so looks out okay.
All right.
Would it be off agenda? I wanted to share a recognition that the Trust for Public Land has made for our community.
Probably that's other business.
Other business? Okay. Okay, so you're done with the executive report?
I am. Yep.
You're going to be gone a couple days.
I'll be gone, yes, tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday in California at meetings.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be gone Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And so you'll be the vice president. Take over.
Okay. We'll take over, all right.
Okay. Okay. So, I guess we're moving on to the action items, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the one-year apparel bid for fiscal year 2018-19 to Outfitters for an annual cost of $21,772.75 as presented.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion?
I just wanted to note that while this is under the amount that really has to be legally bid, the reason I brought it to the board is just for cushion in case we have to buy extra T-shirts. We kind of estimate when we do our bid. So if it goes over that $25,000 mark, I didn't want to have any question of that. So I just brought it to the board just in case we go over that because it's kind of estimate when we submit bids for T-shirts. To run on people that need T-shirts, you know.
And the person who requested the FOIA, the company that got the bid?
No.
Didn't get
it. It's the company that did not get the bid. Yeah. Yeah. And that's very common after bids for people to FOIA us. It's funny because all they have to ask us is for our bid results. We do that too, but they always FOIA us.
Okay.
That's it.
So we need a roll call vote.
Yep, Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Andrunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder for Old Elm, Vernon, and Woodlawn playground renovations to Hacienda Lighting of Manuka,
Landscaping.
Illinois.
Landscaping.
Landscaping, sorry.
Okay.
Landscaping. including alternate one for a total of $663,467.51 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All right.
Discussion.
Some discussion. So, yes, these were very favorable bids. So you always make an estimate. When you're doing your designs, and we were very pleased with this. We did a lot of research on this company because it did come in a little bit lower, and Chris is confident about, like, Chris did all the work. So you want to?
They worked with us recently.
They did Friends Park. Yeah.
They did Friends Park. They were fine. They had some rough weather. They worked through it. That last go around when they were here.
Chris wasn't there when they did it, so we just wanted to make sure that everything was still. Everybody was still happy. So we checked references. We did disqualify the first bidder as not a responsible bidder because they, for all the reasons I mentioned. So, do you have anything to add?
The numbers came in great. I'm very happy with things and just look forward to seeing the projects move forward.
Yeah. And just, I want to note that mount we have in the, that we put in the packet, that's a construction amount. So it doesn't count design fees, doesn't count park district's portion, so don't look at that as that's how much we're going to hit.
Yes.
The total, there's more because of design fees and park district, all the work that we do and the things that we buy keep those prices lower. So, but we are very pleased with that.
Yes, it does.
Includes everything, yes.
Can you tell us a little about how they're going to stage the project?
So we'll do Vernon first.
Soup to nuts,
they'll do the whole playground, and then they'll move to Old Elm.
Oh, good.
Take down that playground, and then work on that one exclusively, and then move to the last one. You know, my instruction to Chris was I don't want to see a playground taken down and nothing, no work being done. So they'll stage it where they have the equipment before they start working, especially Old Elm and Woodlawn, so that it's kind of seamless. Everybody hates when you take out a playground and nothing comes in.
Yeah.
So he's really good about making sure that everything's, that they have everything before we start it, yeah.
I didn't realize that path around the town was an alternate, so that was because of budget, we weren't sure how it was going to come in?
We weren't sure how, so the path itself is in the base bid, but the actual rumble strips, I asked them to put that as an alternate, just because it was something a little different, so. But we got that in, no problem.
Any other questions?
I understand your comment about there's other costs.
So,
it still looks like at least the construction part is $180,000.
We will see probably between $20,000 to $35,000 for each of these projects in buy owner costs. So typically we buy the fixtures because we don't have to pay a markup on a garbage can. So things like benches, garbage cans, landscaping, anything that we can do in-house, we pay to have the construction fence put up around the site. We don't want to pay a markup for the contractor.
Okay.
So each of these construction bid budgets will see $25,000 to $30,000 added to them by the end. So we do have a nice cushion, but it's not as.
So what you wrote.
So what they're saying is that construction budget number you have on there, was that including your items?
No.
The budget.
No, that's
not the amount, the budget.
The budget includes my items, yes.
Yes, the budget included.
So it's not a savings of $100.
Right, exactly. So that's why I wanted to know that. Yeah. Good question. Because you see that, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But I think we're still going to be about, you know, 25 under budget, and especially Woodlawn, so that's
yeah.
Nice. So we can take that and put in other project futures down the line.
Write that a little differently next time so I don't get too excited.
Okay. We will, that's good. I should have put in not including that. So.
Other questions? Other questions? Shall we have a roll call vote then?
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdung?
Yes. So
yes.
Motion passes. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Other business?
My other business, this is a good thing. I do some work with Open Lands, which is a nonprofit promoting open lands in northeastern Illinois. Our closest large holding is up on Fort Sheridan, that area up there, lakefront property. And we're doing some joint projects with a group called the Trust for Public Land. The Trust for Public Land is the leading national campaign to ensure that every person in America has access to a quality park within a 10-minute walk of home. And so as we were doing this, I thought, well, wonder how Glencoe reacts to this. How do we stack up? 97% of our residents are within a 10-minute walk of a park. That's awesome. That's just amazing. So that's a really good thing.
That's also an NRPA initiative, too.
Yes.
I wonder if that's...
Yeah.
I think that same thing was indicated in our master plan, but just in a different way. I think it has a mile thing, not the walk, 10-mile walk, and that's nice to see because people relate better to how long it takes to walk to someplace. You know, so if you do wayfinding signs and you say 10-minute walk to the beach, it's so much different than saying beach a half mile. And in my half mile, so long. But you say 10 minutes, that's not a problem. So as we do wayfinding signs, we're going to think of it in that way. You know.
Can we do both? Because some people really like to know distance. Like I walk 5 miles. You know what I mean? Like that.
We can do both.
People want to do it better.
Just like the trail. People want to know how many times
you're
out.
Yeah, do both, and then people can practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did we get any feedback at the April 7th coffee with the board?
There's about 8 people. Right? 8 to 10 that came through?
Probably 10.
Yeah.
Probably 10 or
Maybe
more with a few drop bikes. It's actually really interesting. Really interesting.
And one of the really good byproducts, I think, personally, is that the board members get to meet other board members. So if you haven't filled out the doodle poll, I think we're still waiting on Steve, Josh, I don't know if you second email. It was really, it's good because you get to meet like the library and the village and school boards. Different people are there, so it's good to see their perspective. And they were very complimentary at the Park District, the fitness center, and other things we were doing. So
I did respond positively at any dates I could help because I was delusional. And I was under the delusion that I might be boating on Saturday. I'd probably be cross-country skiing. I'm very protective of my Saturdays because that's when I get my boating in.
Yep.
And I've normally been on the water right now.
I know, it's really...
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I had it on, I think something timeline on Facebook popped up, and every year a group of friends get together and they put the pier in a lake, and it was last weekend, and it was snowing. So I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Yes. It's always cold when we do it, but not quite that cold. So we didn't do it last weekend, obviously, but last year we did, and it was warmer. So
my childhood best friend is now in his semi-retirement, the sheriff of Door County, and he had 30 inches of snow.
I know, isn't that crazy? But Minnesota, the baseball had how much? The stadium had like 2 feet.
Yeah.
I blame the snow on anybody who took their snow plows off. Luckily, our team was smart enough, and they don't take the snow plows off until what? End of April?
June?
Yeah, June. This year, June. So I go, Chris, you didn't take the snow plows off, did you? He's like, nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Nope, it's bad luck. It's like watering the flowers.
Yeah. So very smart of him. So, yep.
Okay, so I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn. So moved. All that.
Second. Discussion. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Thank you very much.